Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So what are the Padres going to do going forward with their pitching rotation? Welcome back, Ben and Woods. And it is Ben and Woods, finally, for the first time in 8 days.
Is that how long
it's good
I was
to see
going?
You.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you missed Tuesday through Tuesday. So last Monday was your last show.
Oh, wow.
So it's good to
what
have you back.
What day is today?
Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday the following week.
Okay.
Wednesday, Big League Wednesday. We got Adam Jones coming up at the bottom of the hour. Take on Woods in just a couple of minutes. Got a new prize this month. Pretty cool one, Woodsy. We've got two nights at Resorts World Las Vegas and tickets to Carrie Underwood at Resorts World. So if you want to play our musical trivia game, go ahead, dial up now or in the next few minutes. 833-288-0973. Stay on hold. Play in about 8 to 10 minutes, a little take on Woods. But okay, so we had this good news last night. After his rehab start in Fresno on Sunday, which was supposed to be in San Antonio, Woods, but Joe Musgrove's flight got canceled, yeah. So they sent him to Fresno instead to pitch with Lake Elsinore. He joined the team in Pittsburgh, and they made the decision yesterday that he is good to go. Doesn't need another rehab start. His next start will come on the mound for the San Diego Padres. This road trip in Miami, one of the games, they didn't say which one, but one of the games likely this weekend against the Marlins. So Padres getting a pitcher back. Now, he won't be stretched out enough to go six innings. In fact, they probably are hoping for about four from Joe Musgrove in that game. Now, all of this was before the game yesterday. And I wonder now that Dylan Cease only got to throw an inning and you needed eight innings from your bullpen, how you are going to handle the rest of this trip and the rotation going forward with 26 games in 27 days. There was talk yesterday, I heard Andy Nelson talking about, do you go to a six-man rotation during this stretch and just add Joe into the mix along with Randy Vasquez and Martin Perez, who threw great while
he was
you were
great.
Gone.
Yeah, watch that game.
That was a surprise, honest.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, all the whiffs that he got, I mean, it was spectacular.
Or do you just replace, you know, Musgrove put him in for either Vasquez or Perez and send one of those guys to the pen or to the minors when you need him to call back up? How do you handle this going forward? And who's going to pitch now on Thursday, tomorrow, which was a TBA, still is a TBA for the Padres? Could be Vasquez. It's his turn. Could be Perez. He'd be on normal 4 days rest. It could be a bullpen type day, but I wouldn't think you'd want to do that again after going eight with your bullpen yesterday. How are you going to handle it? Or can Dylan Cease come back in just a couple of days, since basically he just threw kind of a bullpen essentially? Now, Schilt said after the game, doesn't think Cease would be able to come back on Thursday, but might be able to come back sooner than normal because he only threw one inning. Cease kind of said, I don't know, I mean, probably just pitch on Sunday like I was supposed to, but it sounds like they hadn't really communicated about that yet, and you'll probably get more clarification in the next day or so on what they are going to do. But there's certainly got to be some strategizing with Ruben Niebla and Mike Schilt and probably the entire, you know, holistic brain trust of the Padres of how they're going to handle the rest of this road trip, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also player dependent. You know, how does Dylan Cease feel? If he feels fine, I don't think you want to upset the apple cart too much, do you? And I know, you know, he was kind of bummed about not being able to pitch, and now he said something to the effect of, well, I guess now I'll just get a little bit of extra rest. I mean, obviously, such a big arm that we need down the stretch too. Look, I don't want to take anybody lightly because it's baseball and these guys are playing for jobs as well. But the quality of opponent has something to do with it as well on how you manipulate your pitching staff. It really does. And I don't think I'd have any problem with taking my chances against Randy Vasquez, throwing when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
No problem with that. Michael King today.
Remember, Vasquez is another guy like King who hasn't thrown that many innings.
Yeah. We've got a few of those guys.
You may want to save some bullets. I know Randy Vasquez is probably not in your playoff rotation, but he might be your swing man in the playoffs, and you can long man out of the bullpen, and you may want to save some of those bullets. Perez is a veteran who's
done.
Give
me the crafty veteran.
You may just work him to death the last. If he's pitching well, throw him as much as possible.
Yeah.
Might as well. Every fifth
game. That's kind of why you got him, isn't it?
That's exactly why you got him.
Yeah.
He's an arm, and no offense to Martin Perez, but he's an arm you don't really care about. What happens to him next?
So harsh.
I get it, but.
Jeez. I didn't miss the heartless Ben.
I know. It's a cold game sometimes. And he's a guy who's not. I mean, Tanner Scott's kind of the same way. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He says, pitch me every day. I want the ball. Okay. I mean, okay. We're not as concerned about what your next few years look like. With Michael King, you're absolutely concerned what, the next year looks like for Michael King. Even with Dylan Cease, who's an absolute workhorse dog. You got him next year. You want to be a little bit careful, I think, with Dylan Cease. So when you're talking about, do you go to six-man rotation? Do you go, hey, Perez every 5 days? Can Cease do every 5 days? And then the other guys, you kind of work and you slowly get Joe back in there. You extend the time between starts for Michael King to save some of those innings. The guys who don't have the career numbers of 150-plus innings, do you give them more time and let your veterans take more of the load going forward?
Well, and again, I wasn't here for the trade deadline. I love the idea and theory of adding a bunch of absolutely elite bullpen arms. I do. And I could be very tempted, if I was the skipper of the San Diego Padres, to overuse said shiny new toys. And I'm not saying that Mike Schilt will do that or has done that. But holy smokes, when it's sitting there in front of you, Benny.
It's tempting.
Yeah. I mean, getting one starter at the deadline in a Martin Perez, that's why you got him, is to go out there and pitch every fifth day and let the chips fall where they may. And if he's anything like he was in his first start, we're going to be just fine. If he's not, then, I mean, how they're going to manipulate these next 3 weeks or so is going to be 4 weeks is going to be very, very telling on how we finish the season. And they got their work cut out for them.
I mean, you've got to make the playoffs. And the best way to make the playoffs is Dylan Cease pitching as much as possible, especially as well as he's done. But you also want to have guys who still have something in the tank if you get to the playoffs. It's really, you're gambling, you're rolling the dice, you're trying to play the percentages here. Do you save some Dylan Cease and hope that helps him stay fresh into the playoffs? Do you work him hard to make sure you get there to try to catch the Dodgers? I mean, you're really going to catch the Dodgers if you're not throwing Dylan Cease out there every fifth day? I mean, that's going to be critical to make up the ground if you want to do that.
I 100% see what you're saying, but also, I mean, look at the schedule, right? Like, you should be able to beat a depleted Marlins team. I love you, Skip. I'm so sorry if you're listening.
They just took two straight from the Braves.
I know they
did. Weekend.
I know they did. And he's got them, he's got these guys playing for their lives. Certainly, he's a really good manager. And what he's been able to do with nothing. With nothing, they've taken everything from him, is pretty remarkable. So, but again, you feel like you don't want to, certainly don't want to punt those games, but if you feel like that these are your guys, if Vasquez is going to be a guy that's going to be able to get you out, you use these guys and then use your bullpen as needed. And they have plenty of weapons down there to get the job done. One more starter would have been superb, but we didn't get it. So we got to figure it out now. And Joe coming back is clutch. It's so clutch. But yeah, man, he's got to be effective too. In those 50, 65 pitches or whatever, they need to be effective.
Sure. Know? Yeah. And he's felt, he said yesterday
that it feels great.
That he felt like the first, when he went to Arizona and kind of threw, he didn't have his feels or whatever he calls it, the motions, but he did feel pretty good in Fresno. He gave up a couple of runs and four hits, but I think it was 43 pitches, 35 strikes.
Yeah.
So that just tells me right there, you hit the strike zone that much, you've got something, you've got some sort of feel for coming back. Because if you can hit the strike zone, you can also just miss it as well.
Sure.
So I'd imagine he wanted to throw strikes. He did what he wanted to do in Fresno. They feel good enough that Joe can come back. But now with the bullpen taxed, and You know, I mean, best case scenario, it's probably four innings. But what if it's not the best case? What if Joe throws well, but, you know, they grind him out for a 25-pitch first inning and a 25-pitch second inning, and all of a sudden he goes 2 2/3 and gives up two hits and a run, but now you've got
Brian Hoeing time, buddy.
Well, yeah, but he just threw 3 2/3 innings today, so you got to be careful with that as well. So, yeah, it's a dilemma. It's, you know, this is what they get the big bucks for. This is why Mike Schilt and A.J. Preller and Ruben Niebla, this is more than anything else. This is what their job is, to try to figure this out going forward.
I have a feeling it's going to be very holistic. Very, very holistic. Probably a lot of overthinking and a lot of not overmanaging, but certainly over-speculating.
Or maybe they just have a big wheel that they spin.
Yeah, darts at a board.
The wheel of starting pitchers, and that's how they decide. I got no idea what the process
looks
like.
That's what good teams do.
That's right. What good teams do. They spin the wheel. Hey, it looks like it's Randy Vasquez day.
All right, Randy. How fantastic is that?
That's great. That's great. I love it. Love it.
All right, you ready to play Take on
Wednesdays? I'm ready. It's been a while.
Good. You know how it works. Leave and let's play.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Woods.
All right, Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go to line two. Is this Russell?
Yes, it is.
Russell, you are the contestant today for Take on Woods. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. All right, if you can beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into the grand prize drawing. Great prize this month. Two nights at Resorts World Las Vegas. Two tickets to Carrie Underwood, Reflection, at Resorts World Theater. It's her new residency from August 14th through October 26th. Tickets are available at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. All right, you get to choose our category with Woods out of the room. Still have The Afterlife sitting there. Five song titles and artists, including the word after. Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Those are bands and artists who made it big around the world, but German in theme. And we've got Dream a Little Dream. Five song titles that contain the word dream. So The Afterlife, Sprechen Sie Deutsch, or Dream a Little Dream. Russell?
Oh, let's try Dream.
Dream a Little Dream. Okay, today we're looking for five song titles. They all contain the word dream in it. You have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can say pass. Come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is the 2-second song. Pauly queuing it up now. You have to identify both the song title and the artist to score that point. Russell, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Pauly needs 1 second. Woods is out there blissfully unaware of everything going on in here. You let me know when you're ready, Paul?
Yeah, Spotify is not working today.
All right. That's going to make it hard to do the 2-second song. I'm good at stalling. We had to stall for 8 days while Woodsy was gone just to get him
I'm
back.
I'm doing some daydreaming.
That's all right, Russell. What did you think about the Padres game last night?
Good.
There we go. Good stalling. Thanks. Thank you for elaborating so eloquently on that, Russell, as we try to help Paulie out. I appreciate that. All right.
Sometimes fewer words are better. Yeah.
All right, here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category again, Dream a Little Dream. Good luck, Russell. Let's take on Woods.
Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics.
Correct. Steven Tyler says he wrote which breakthrough 1973 hit for Aerosmith when he was just 14 years old?
Dream On.
Correct. Daryl Hall says it takes a rare edition of a specific Yamaha keyboard to create the distinctive sound of which 1981 Hall & Oates hit.
Pass.
One of my favorite song lyrics is when Crowded House sings Try to Catch the Deluge in a Paper Cup in which 1986 hit.
Don't Dream It's Over.
Correct. Katy Perry reminisces about her youth in which number one hit and title track from her third album in 2010.
Pass.
Daryl Hall says it takes a rare edition of a specific Yamaha keyboard to create the distinctive sound of which 1981 Hall & Oates hit.
Dreamtime.
Incorrect. Katy Perry reminisces about her youth in which number one hit and title track from her third album in 2010. Last couple seconds.
No idea.
That's all right. You got three. Time is up. That one is Teenage Dream by Katy Perry, and Daryl Hall & Oates is You Make My Dreams Come True. All right, that's three. Let's bring Woods in, and we will see how his score holds up against yours. Russell, hang on the line. All right, you nervous? It's been a while. You remember how to play?
I do. I am.
2 second song, 60 seconds, yeah. Pass if you don't know an answer.
That's
right. All right, you know. All right, you don't get the category. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Russell.
Sweet dreams are made of these, the Eurythmics.
Correct. Steven Tyler says he wrote which breakthrough 1973 hit for Aerosmith when he was just 14 years old.
Dream On.
Correct. Daryl Hall says it takes a rare edition of a specific Yamaha keyboard to create the distinctive sound of which 1981 Hall & Oates hit.
Pass.
One of my favorite song lyrics is when Crowded House sings "Try to Catch the Deluge in a Paper Cup."
Don't dream it's over.
Correct. Katy Perry reminisces about her youth in which number one hit and title track from her third album in 2010.
Is it Teenage Dream?
It is. Daryl Hall says it takes a rare edition of a specific Yamaha keyboard to create the distinctive sound of which 1981 Hall & Oates hit.
Why can't I think of a Hall & Oates song other than Rich Girl? Dream.
You've got the theme.
Dream. Dreaming. Dreaming of your taint.
Now, everyone missed all your guesses that have no chance at being right. Literally, I don't think there is a popular song.
You Make My Dreams
Come True? You might. That song. That's why I don't remember.
You don't like the Yamaha keyboard at the beginning?
No, I didn't even notice it was there.
Russell, sorry, 4-3. Woods wins. He's back with a victory. Like Fernando Tatis Jr. coming off the injured list with 2 home runs.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Woods is right back with a win. In Dream a Little Dream. Congratulations, Woods.
Thank you. Feels good.
All right. Don't Do This is coming up next.
Mahalo, Russell.
Mahalo.
Oh, how about Mad Dog? Mad Dog,
oh,
Mad Dog.
I knew this was going to happen to someone.
I did, too.
I feel bad that it's Mad Dog. He's not one of those guys who doesn't know baseball, because I know he does. Mad Dog? On MLB Network? Really? You don't think
Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Talking about Chris Russo.
Yes.
Yeah, he knows baseball in 1979.
All right, fair enough. I mean, this
I don't like
the guys he was talking about.
Wearing all these guards on their arm.
Fine.
Good Lord.
I knew it was going to happen to someone, but it was
well, it got him.
So hard for me to listen to.
It's excruciating audio.
It gave me indigestion hearing it, and we'll play it for you coming up next. Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Paulie expecting to have a trip to the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley very soon.
Strap in, dude.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today at thecrafttaco.com. And I think we have to kick off Don't Do This with a shout out to his family as well for our first story. And this was really sad. Former Padre Billy Bean passed away of leukemia yesterday at the age of 60. So, Paulie, if you would.
Wow.
Give a shout out to his family.
Oh, yeah, shout out first.
Well, you should have told me that.
I did, but you were there.
The audio that you also
Unity,
asked.
Unity, we're back. Peace.
We are fully back.
When already things are so difficult. So
Shout out to his family.
Now, of course, there are two significant Billy Beans in baseball. One is Moneyball, Billy Bean.
Yeah, B-E-A-N-E.
From Mount Carmel High School, general manager of the A's, president.
Yeah, both San Diego ties, right?
Yes. Yep, both have some San Diego ties. The other Billy Bean, the one who passed away yesterday, was most notable, not for necessarily his playing career, but after his career, he came out of the closet as gay. And that was very significant at the time. He played baseball without really letting any of his teammates know about it and went through his career. And, he became Major League Baseball's essentially ambassador for inclusion.
Yes.
Worked as, in the Major League Baseball office. And from, I never got to meet him, but from whatever I heard, everyone who knew Billy Bean said, fantastic guy.
Yeah.
Really great guy. Everyone liked him.
Our beloved Tim Flannery tweeted about him, said, I absolutely loved Billy Bean. Backed up Tony Gwynn and played with him and loved him.
But as is the case, when news breaks and you don't have all the information right away, and I was scared that this was going to happen when I saw it,
yeah,
someone was going to make the mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And it became pretty high profile because it was our friend Mad Dog, Chris Russo, doing, I think, his satellite radio show. When he got the news.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he... The word that we're getting right now is that the general manager of the A's, Billy Bean, may have passed away. Wow. Was he ill? Wasn't aware of this. I mean, he's not that old. Jeez, was it sudden? We'll see if we can get some information. Wow, that is a terrible story. Mm. With Billy Bean of the A's...
Nope.
I don't know anything about it. This is the first I've heard. He's an historic general manager on a team that he built very good teams with not a lot to work with financially. The movie, of course, with Brad Pitt.
Right.
He's probably no more than 62 or 3. 60. Wow. Leukemia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That's a terrible story.
It's a different one.
So Billy Bean of the A's. Now, had he taken a leave of absence in the last it might be?
At some point in about 30 more seconds, someone told him. And then he figured it out. And I get it. I mean, it's breaking news, but that's unfortunate that mistake was made. Billy Bean is still general manager of the A's, guys, still alive.
Well, I don't even think he is that anymore.
I don't even know what he is anymore.
That's the wrong Billy Bean.
Yep, that is.
That's not the Billy Bean from the A's.
Correct.
Last 10 years, Billy worked passionately and tirelessly with MLB and all 30 clubs, focusing on player education. He played 10-year playing career with 6 teams.
Okay, that's enough, right, Mad Dog. You get the
Sorry,
point.
Mad Dog.
You get the point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not. It's understandable, but unfortunate as well.
Well, listen. I was on the plane yesterday, and I saw some discourse going on online, as I usually see it. And I don't know if people do this to be edgelordy. I don't know if they do it for engagement. But I saw this tweet from Exploring Baseball History yesterday, and it's the second such tweet that I'd seen. I'd seen some comparisons to Tony Gwynn and Aaron Judge, and the numbers start flying out, and oh my God, and what about this, and the OPS against this. And listen, man, I'm a fan of numbers. I believe in them. But we're talking about different eras. We're talking about different players. It just sometimes it's just moronic to do. But this guy really went a step further. He said, I probably shouldn't wade into this, but... Well, there's your answer right there, dummy.
You just said it.
I think that Tony Gwynn holds a weird place in baseball history. He's probably the most overrated player that just about everyone agrees belongs in the Hall of Fame. So he's saying, I think what he's saying is Tony Gwynn, everybody believes he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he's overrated. And I've seen this before, and it happens every year. Jeter, Tony Gwynn, there's a bunch of guys, and you look at it and you just go, for me, as much as I love baseball, I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of the comparison. I really am. It is tired head for me immediately. But
you can't reason with these people.
There's no reasoning
with
them.
That's the Keanu
yeah. Reeves thing.
Two plus two is five.
I'm at the point where if somebody's arguing with me, 2 + 2 = 5, you know what? You're right, man. Have a good day.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You're right. Yes, I am a moron. I know nothing. Correct. You got it. You nailed it. And I just it really sucks the energy out of you. But what I really enjoyed, this is like a doo-doo this as well, is our beloved Tony Gwynn Jr. He rarely wades into any of this. And it's got to bug him when he sees stuff like that. And he had time today, and he said, so you woke up and decided this was the way you wanted to start the day, by trying to knock my pops? The discourse that was being had about my pops and Judge and whoever else must have really gotten under your skin that bad, huh? Hey, I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion. You're in the real small minority, though. Carry on. I almost said Aguin.
Aguin,
which actually works.
It was Aguin.
Again, this is not we're from San Diego or we're in San Diego and we love Tony Gwynn battle. This is if you don't realize what kind of impact player Tony Gwynn was, you, as Ted Leitner would say, sir, are a moron.
I think there is an argument to be made that had Tony Gwynn come around 25 years later, he might not have been viewed as a good as a prospect, like, because he doesn't do the power things that you're looking for, and he might not have gotten the opportunity he got. I'm glad Tony Gwynn came around when he did. I promise you, if Tony Gwynn was around today, though, he'd be one of the best players in baseball.
No question.
He'd be a Hall of Famer, even today. He has a skill set and a talent that was even unmatched by the best players in baseball history. He is one of the best hitters who has ever lived. And if you're telling me that is overrated by being one of the best hitters who ever lived and also a Gold Glove outfielder, a smart base runner, especially early in his career, and everything that he did, I don't know how to help you. I really don't.
It's not. Don't take it from us. Don't take it from Padres fans. Don't even take it from Tony Gwynn Jr.
Right.
Take it from Greg Maddux.
Yep. John Smoltz. All the best of their generation saying,
like, all of those guys.
F that guy. F that guy. My favorite interview maybe we've ever done was Greg Maddux saying, I finally got smart and just started throwing him a first pitch fastball that I knew he would hit for a single, and I just hoped he wouldn't hit it for a double. And I'd stop.
Maybe I'd get lucky and he'd hit it at somebody.
And I would save 6 to 9 bullets, you know, for the rest of the game and try to get the next guy out. So I would just throw him his fastball, let him get his hit, and, you know, try to get a double play out of the next guy.
Now, we can table this discussion, but the comparisons between Luis Arraez and Tony Gwynn Jr. or Tony Gwynn are interesting because their numbers are very similar at this point in their careers. And I don't know, is Arraez heading toward the Hall of Fame or not in his career? But I would like to discuss that at some point because I think it's relevant to this discussion as well.
You know, and as Jay says, I grew up in the Bay Area. Tony was my favorite player. I lived in Connecticut, Jay. Connecticut. And Tony Gwynn's poster hung on my wall when I was in 7th and 8th grade.
The one with the bats?
The bat.
Yeah,
man.
The bats. Oh, okay. And I mean, he was, you're talking as far as you get away from here. And all my homies love Tony Gwynn. Why? Because he mashed the baseball. All something we all wanted to do, that's what he did. He mashed the baseball. He hit it here, he hit it here, he hit it there, he hit it everywhere. And a truly transcendent hitter.
Finally, quick doo-doo this, but I know we got to go. We've got Adam Jones coming up. Really
doo-doo.
Cool scene yesterday. You've seen players go visit children's hospitals before. It's great. They go sign autographs, bring gifts. Mitch Haniger did it a different way yesterday with the Mariners. He went to Seattle Children's Hospital. They called it a reverse signing. And instead of having like players sitting at a table signing autographs, all the kids who were at Children's Hospital, they had the table and they were signing autographs to the players.
Cool,
it was one of the cutest scenes. We got it on our YouTube stream, but
unbelievable. What a
great,
it to my
I don't know if it was a PR person or Haniger, whoever idea that was genius and such a nice moment and totally a do this. All right. That was Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Adam Jones is slowly making his way closer to the West Coast. Going to be here next week. We're supposed to see AJ next week. But
he'll be here in a couple of days.
He will join us next as he continues his summer in America with the 5-time All-Star Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday coming up when we return on 97.3 The Fan. Things going well for the San Diego Padres. They are hot. just in time for an upcoming visit from Adam Jones, the five-time All-Star. Not here yet. We'll be here soon, but he's standing by and will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be loving him some California very, very soon.
Yeah.
He's getting closer from what I understand. It is time to talk on a Big League Wednesday with the five-time All-Star from San Diego and the Baltimore Orioles and various other locations. Adam Jones is back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. AJ, how's your summer going?
All is good right now. All is good. Just in Arizona right now. Very warm, but you know, the Pods are playing some good ball. It's just great at the right time. And, you know, you win and the Dodgers lose. Hey, it's always a good morning.
It's crazy. I did not think we'd be sitting here scoreboard watching on August 7th. I knew we'd be watching to see what the Diamondbacks would do. Maybe the Mets would figure it out. But I did not think we'd be watching what the Dodgers were doing on August 7th. Now, I get it. They've been ravaged by injury. I certainly understand that. But holy smokes, AJ, this is a lot closer than Dodger fans probably want to admit.
It's part of the game. I mean, injuries are part of the game. And that's, you know, again, I've always said I don't ever use that as an excuse because everybody's going to battle and go through certain things. So, you know, it's part of it. But the Padres are doing what they're supposed to do. They're winning games they're supposed to win. They're closing out games they're supposed to close out. And last night I seen a young kid, I think it's Estrada.
Yeah.
He closed out the game. And look at this. He wasted three pitches, okay? Someone needs to talk to him. He threw two fastballs right by Keon Brian Hayes, who is a very good fastball hitter.
Yep.
Then he threw three non-competitive pitches, wasted his time. And then threw a 3-2 fastball right by him. Stop wasting your time. You do three pitches pointless. You throw them in the bullpen or throw them after the game if you feel like it. Blow the dude away, okay?
Well, he's clearly learned nothing from Robert Suarez, who just gets up there and chucks fastballs as fast as he can, right? Bye, guys.
I'm just saying, it's like, we're not that smart, okay? Everybody thinks that baseball it's gotten too nerdy or smart. When you're in between the lines, you're not that damn smart. What's working, figure it out. Everybody on the outside, let them start to think and think they know what's going on or think that they're smarter. But inside those lines, we all know we ain't that damn smart. See ball, hit ball. If the dude is not hitting a fastball, why in the hell are you going to throw him something that's down, that's lower, that he can catch up to? It's like, just stick with what works.
Don't speed it up.
I was watching that, and I seen three non-competitive pitches, and I'm like, I hope somebody tells him, like, bro, you got 98 at the top of the zone, four seam, just live there. You'll be all right.
He did end up striking out all three batters.
He did.
And he did have 13 straight strikeouts earlier this year.
And he's disgusting. I'm saying he's disgusting. I've watched him pitch. He's disgusting.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
When you slow the game down in September and in October, that's going to be a little bit different.
And we talked about it a little bit last week, right after the trade deadline and the Padres' moves to fortify their bullpen. But the fact that you can even bring him in a 6-0 game. I mean, he used to be a guy you need to save for higher leverage. But now you have so many options in your bullpen right now if you're the Padres that Estrada's a guy, we'll protect that 6-0 lead with this guy in the ninth inning. It's got to be disheartening, I would imagine, to other teams knowing whoever is coming out of that bullpen is going to be so nasty.
Dude, that was the worst. It's like, you're like, okay, well, we're either beating them by a lot or they're beating us by a lot. All right, get us somebody in here that's just like 91, 92, a little wrinkle in his book, a little wrinkle he got. Nah, not these days. Everybody's coming in and they're just throwing, they're just hard throwers with sinkers, sliders. Sometimes they know where it's going. They don't know how to pitch in that well, so they're always hitting people. But it's definitely different, I'm telling you. I used to love that middle relief guy that just comes in and just like, you know, you get the starter out of some guy that just needs to eat up 2 2/3 and you just shell him for another five. But now, that guy coming in is disgusting. He's 96, 98 they call it a sweeper now. It's still a curveball or a slider. I don't know who discovered sweeper. But the pitching has gotten way better. I heard Bryce Harper in an interview just say, you know, the pitching has just got tougher. You know, you look at the batting averages and all that kind of stuff, and you can say, oh, well, guys aren't as good hitters as they were in the past, and they don't compete as much. They got three options, maybe the home run, walk, or strikeout. But the pitchers are very, very nasty, and the consistency of what comes in is nasty. When you have to face somebody three times, it doesn't matter how hard he threw, I can make that adjustment the third time. Now you're facing – I don't even know if you face the same guy three times. Rarely. You know what I mean? So it's very tough to pitch. It's very, very tough to hit in today's game. And I watch him like, damn, this dude coming in 98 sinker. Okay, 8-1 game. You think some little 92s coming in?
Yeah.
It's a lefty at 97. So I'm like, you got Moore at home, who throws probably the easiest 99 I've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, jeez. It's Suarez. So the Padres are in a good situation right now because they got a lot of velocity. And you know what? They've gained some experience over the last couple years. I think Moore at home can be big, big down the stretch against – it's going to be against – his biggest at-bats are going to be against Freeman and against Ohtani because he's now seasoned and prepared for those because he's faced these guys the last couple of years in these scenarios. So, you know, it's going to be fun down the stretch because now the Padres have that experience. It's not – I don't think we can use the excuse of, you know, some guys have never been there before. Some guys are this. I think it's now it's like, hey, these guys have been around. They know what to do. The expectations are there, and they smell blood, and I love it. They smelled it in Baltimore, and they smelled it on that road trip, and – you see what they're doing right now in Pittsburgh.
Talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I'm sure we've asked you about rain delay for a player before, but it's a good time to bring it back after last night. You know, you got a game. It's dicey. You're kind of looking at the weather forecast before you head to the ballpark going, man, this is probably going to be one of those days. But then you get the game started, and then the torrential downpour, the field won't drain. You're wet. You're back in the clubhouse. You're drying out. Like, what goes on back there? How frustrating is it? You know, you're on the road. It's a long-ass trip. Like, God, man. And then to come out and win 6-0, I thought was, you know, a real good testament to the team. But as a former player, those games cannot be fun at all.
Oh, rain delays stink. It's like you either know it's going to rain. Like when, if you like got all dressed and you're all ready, and like if it's a rain day, if you come in and it's like 6:40 and they're like, hey, we're on a hold. All right, come on, man. I got this Bengay all over me. I'm just lubed all up. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? There's no reversing this start right now. And, you know, it's
just, that doesn't wipe off. You can't wipe that stuff off and start over.
You can't wipe that stuff off. So you're sitting there, you're like, damn, okay. All right, well, you know, figure it out. You relax, you take the stuff off. You try to get yourself in a relaxing state. You look on your phone and see the pattern, and you try and take a guess with them. They always tell you what's going on, but it sucks, especially on the road. Road clubhouses aren't as good as homes, but hey, look, if your job calls for a rain delay, it calls for it. But the best thing is you go out there and you win. You know, a lot of times the home team has that advantage, but the road team, they went out there and they scored 6. And I like what they're doing. It's top bottom of the order. It's everybody right now.
Yep.
It's starting to add value. And again, I like I said, to me, Jackson Merrill, he might be the team MVP. In my opinion right now, just because of everything that he's doing to just be the glue of the team. I know it's a lot that it's not on his shoulders yet, very not on his shoulders, but he's taken himself into be a really, really good, like, leader by play. And it's really good to see because as a center fielder, you know, I like to see the center fielders take control of the whole team.
Talking to Adam Jones, he's with us. You're in Arizona. The Diamondbacks are not right now. They actually got rained out in Cleveland yesterday. Doubleheader scheduled today. But if there's any team that's playing as well as the Padres, it's the Diamondbacks right now. They are very hot. How do you compare them to last year's team that made this run to the World Series? Because they're looking kind of similar right now.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit better team because they made additions. Like last year, I think a couple of teams. And, you know, this is still a good team right now playing well. Obviously, Marte is just – I think he's got put on the national stage last year, and that was perfect for him because he is a star. But you got to see, Corbin Carroll has not even gotten off yet. He's not having a good year yet. We've seen what he did last year in his rookie year. What if he, for the next 2 months, decides to slip on that switch? Gurriel had a good start. He's been slowing down. When he gets hot, you know, they have a good pitching staff. They got a really, really good team. And again, they have that veterans where they've been there before, so they know how to pace themselves. And that's part of the season too, is pacing yourselves. You know, you see the last couple of years, the Reds get off to a hot start. Pittsburgh gets off to a hot start. Baseball is like, oh man, we might have two new Cinderellas in baseball. Yeah, it's May 7th there, big fella. Hold your britches. And then, you know, you realize you come back. Yeah, they're in the normal places that they've always been. So it's a long, long, long season. I think that the Padres and Diamondbacks are two, and the Orioles, I think, are two franchises or three franchises that have learned how to pace themselves throughout the long season and kick it in at the right time. And obviously, playing good ball the second half is the right time.
Well, before we let you go, man, I can't not mention what you're doing on Friday night, this coming Friday, a night for Mr. Padre. Tell us about what that event is going to be and how people can get tickets.
Well, it's, you know, it's about TG. Everything's about Tony Gwynn. You know, the love and passion that we have for Tony Gwynn because, you know, obviously he's my favorite player. He's my mentor. And it's just, you know, a night to recognize. We have a gala. We have incredible items from signed Super Bowl jerseys to signed Super Bowl footballs to cleats, jerseys, bats from all your favorite players. But the most important thing, though, it's about highlighting Tony Gwynn because we, you know, it's been 25 years since 3000, if you can believe that, 1999. And I remember exactly where I was at. I was at home watching it while he was getting a hit in Montreal. And, you know, that was a moment that would always stick with me as a kid. And, you know, just what TG has meant to the city of San Diego and outside of it, what he's meant to baseball, he's still talked about as one of the best hitters to ever play this game. And, you know, even a better thing that having a guy like Luis Arraez even brings TG's name up even more in conversation. So I think that's even better. But we have a camp on the Saturday, the 10th, from 9 to 1 at San Diego State. I'll be there the whole time. I was trying to get out some golf in the afternoon, but they like, come on. So, you know, I'll be there the whole time. But, no, you can get tickets at TonyGwynnLegacyEast.org/events. And, you know, it's about the community. We're going to have a lot of good people here. The gala's Friday night, and it's going to be just a fantastic, fantastic event. And yeah, you know, I'm excited to be a part of it. You know, Oakley's part of it. It's just a good team. Rand is obviously led by the daughter of Tony Gwynn, Anisha, and it's just a great event.
That's great.
I think I've sent you guys the tickets.
We
and
got
all
it
that stuff, and all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah, Oxford Social.
Hopefully,
downtown,
you guys can pass it out and blow it out. Yeah,
so we will do it. Paulie just put the link in our YouTube chat. We'll put it on our Twitter, and it's going to help. It's going to help community development in Southeast San Diego and underserved communities. It's great work that you're doing after your career. And, yeah, I mean, you still got plenty of time for golf. But those camps are important, too. My kid has been to about 10 camps this summer. AJ, he's gotten so much better, man, so much better.
That's awesome.
And
they are important.
It's been great. It's been great.
Yeah. Oxford Social Club. So Friday night, get your tickets. It's going to be lit.
Thank you, buddy. We will see you next week, right?
Yes. I'll see you next week.
Looking forward to it.
Take,
all right.
Get ready to take some of your money from you.
Adam Jones, the five-time All-Star. I think we're gonna try to play some golf with him.
We are.
And if we're playing out at the ranch, do you think breaking 80 could be...
It could be in the car. He's done it.
Yeah. It's the place to do it again, for sure.
It's the only place I've ever done it.
You've done it. Let's see if AJ can do it.
It's the only place I'll ever do it.
So that'll be fun to see him in person after he finally makes his way all the way to this side of the country.
That's right.
All right, we are 2 hours in already.
Oh, yeah. Got to tell you guys what happened.
I'm curious. I saw the tweet as you were coming home yesterday.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what the story is.
Well, I have a very curious 3-year-old.
Clothing optional.
As it turns out. Very curious 3-year-old. Tell you guys all about Taylor Camp coming up next.
All right, then we have Brett Boone still to join us on a Big League Wednesday. That's coming your way at around 8:35. A Rindle report and get you ready for another Padres game coming up. Hopefully no rain today. I hear there's still possibility in the forecast because it is Pittsburgh in the summer. But 3:40 all ahead today with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.